Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. If you're listening in North Florida, we're so happy that you're joined with us today around the Word of God. If you're listening anywhere in the United States, because you're listening to WMAF as it streams by computer, we welcome you today. If you are listening to this particular subject broadcast that you have downloaded from our website, thank you for coming. We pray this broadcast will bless you today. We pray it'll bless others. If you decide to share what you have downloaded, we pray that that other people will hear clearly the great good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm excited because I am saved today. I am a Christian before I am a minister. I'm a Christian before I'm a media minister. I am a Christian before anything else today. Amen. And just being a Christian is enough for me to praise God until Jesus comes and then praise Him and worship Him forever in heaven. Praise God. I'm glad my sins are forgiven. I'm glad I have a relationship with God that is grace-based. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to be talking in just a few minutes about under the subject heading, who has a God like our God? And particularly zeroing in on the God of grace. Hallelujah. The Bible said God is great and He is greatly to be praised. And one of the things that makes Him great is not just His might and to create a universe, a world, and us, but that He is gracious. This great God is also good. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of theological truth in the beginning of a little offering over food that begins with God is great. God is good. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad that this great God is so great in grace. He shows His goodness to us through His grace and mercy. So stay tuned today. This is going to help you if you'll open your heart as well as your mind today. Praise the Lord. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you may have some real, genuine, maybe sincerely misconceived ideas about God, the God of the Bible. We want to clarify some things about Him. See, once you learn something about the Lord, it is iron clad. He's the Lord God of Israel, and the Scriptures declare, and He changes not. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible said in the New Testament, before we get to our text today, that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. In other words, there's no possibility of God ever changing. So once you discover something about His person, His character, the integrity of His Word, it is set in stone, and nobody has a stone eraser. Praise God. The devil simply can't cancel out the truth about God. So we just want you to come on a journey with us, and let's begin to look at this wonderful, wonderful Creator and Deliverer and Savior. Praise God. Amen. Before we go to the Word of God today, we'd like to invite you to our website. If you would like to come and download any of the materials there that you would find helpful to you, we strongly encourage you to come and browse our website. There are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus that can be downloaded there to listen to, or downloaded to any MP3 device, iPod, etc. And we encourage you to come, get involved in this good Word of God with us. Amen. Listen to what the Bible has to say. Amen. About God's grace, God's love, God's plan of salvation. All those wonderful, wonderful truths about Jesus and the resurrection and the coming of the Lord, and how to follow Him and how to walk and live in the victory that He has declared and desired. designed for us. So we just want you to come and enjoy the Lord with us. Praise God. So come to our website. Just type in THCOG. You won't hear from us unless you want to. We're not asking you for anything except to be a blessing to you. Praise God. So for THCOG. On Google or any good search engine, it will take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, where we're in our 38th year of pastoring here. And sermons that span the years are on that website under many headings, many relevant subjects. Praise God. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 in the Old Testament. Yes, we're going to talk about the God of grace out of the Old Testament. Many people have the misconception that the God of the Old Testament is a strict taskmaster and that he is ready to whack anybody at any given time. But the God of the New Testament has mellowed and suddenly become a gracious and good and patient God, and nothing could be farther from the truth. There is a dispensation of grace that is different in the New Covenant, but the God of the Old and New Covenant is one and the same. We want to clear up some misconceptions about this wonderful God that we serve today. Amen. God was a God of love from day one. His love did not intensify in the New Covenant, but His love was manifest through a different type of covenant than the Old Covenant. It was manifest through the giving of His own Son as the supreme sacrifice for sin. The Old Covenant system, they offered bulls and goats, and the lamb actually was the principal offering in the old sacrificial system. And that's why John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." The final lamb was offered. The final lamb that God would ever accept. They went ahead with the sacrificial system after the cross because they didn't understand. But I want you to know, friend, the last lamb sacrifice that God accepted was when Jesus Christ hung upon the old wooden cross of Calvary. And thank God, God accepted that. And when Jesus said, "It's finished," he meant that the last lamb was being offered. Praise God. Amen. And the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. And that not only meaning that we can come behind the veil and come into the presence of a holy God through the blood of Jesus Christ, but that God can come from behind the veil and come to us. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. Praise God. God came upon people in the Old Covenant. Hallelujah. But He came within people in the New Covenant. I'm telling you, I'm getting excited. We hadn't even started our subject and read the Scripture yet, but I'm excited about the fact that we can go behind the veil and God can come from behind the veil. That means where you are today, God can come to you, and God will come to you. And the first way He comes, if you don't know Christ is your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes, amen, to convict you of sin and to convince you of your need for a Savior. Praise God. And then to reveal Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God to you, pray, and to draw you unto Him. Oh, praise God. This is exciting to talk about a God of grace. Throughout all of the Bible, this God exists and exhibits that grace to fallen man. Let's look into the Old Covenant, Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Listen, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. Praise God. You know, we serve the God of all creation who created heaven and earth and all things that in them is. And yet Micah's not focusing on this mighty God. The might of God in His creative, unlimited power. Praise God, His omnipotence, but He's focusing in on His grace and His mercy. Not just His power, but His person and His character and the love that produces the grace and mercy to fallen men and women just like you and just like me. Israel was the chosen people. He chose a people to demonstrate His love and grace toward. And He didn't choose a people that were easily loved and easily blessed. They were hard-hearted, stiff-necked. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. That's not just unique to the nation of Israel. That's unique to Adam's race of fallen men and women, which make up all the nations, all of the cultures, all over the world. This God loves this fallen world enough to give His only begotten Son. And everything that was happening in the Old Covenant pointed to a day when Jesus, the final Lamb, would come. He would shed His blood on Calvary. The veil of the temple would be rent from top to bottom. And this God of grace would do the supreme act of grace in the giving of His Son, in Jesus, the giving of His life, that we might come to God, and that God may come to us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, after Jesus had died, risen from the dead, that eternal sacrifice was offered and the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven. Amen. It said we have need of patience after we've done the will of God that we might receive the promise. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of the reward, for he that shall come will come, and He will not tarry. That's not just the second coming of Jesus or the rapture of the church. That's not about that. It's about calling upon the name of the Lord and God coming to us. God showing up. God manifesting Himself. God answering prayer. He that shall come. Make no mistake about it. We can go behind the veil and make our petitions known. And God can come from behind the veil and manifest Himself in the answer to our prayers and in help in the time of our need. Praise God. He that shall come will come. Praise the Lord. God's delay is not His denial. He'll come in His timing, but He will come. Make no mistake about it. God will show up if we pray in faith, if we stand upon the Word, if we claim His promises. God will show up. As one man put it, when God healed his wife from an infection raging in her blood that the doctors could find no medicine to arrest, he prayed for his own wife, a minister. He laid hands on her, prayed for her. Amen. He came back to work. We prayed over the weekend for her. And after the weekend was over on Monday, I couldn't wait to hear the result of prayer. And he said, Brother Venable, God showed up in that hospital room and then God showed out. Hallelujah. Praise God, because she suddenly had an extraordinary recovery and went home from the hospital and she's alive and well today. What a testimony to the fact that we can go to God and present our needs to Him as Christians and God can come to us and manifest Himself. Praise God. That veil that separated unholy man, fallen man from a holy God has been rent from top to bottom. Grace has made a way for us to come to God, and grace has made a way for God to come to us. You know, the New Testament calls the throne of God a throne of grace, where we go to obtain grace and mercy in the help in the time of any need. Grace and mercy to help in the time of any need. I'm going to read this from the New International in the Old Covenant. It says, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives transgression of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. I'm going to make a statement today, friends. Ancient Israel's troubles, like ours, were a result of rebellion and sin. God's judgments had come, their enemies had now prevailed and boasted in their victories over them. They, without God's covering, seemed so helpless and hopeless. But because of the God of grace and the grace of God, all of that is about to change. They had broken their covenant with Him, but He would not break His covenant with them. If they would repent and return, the Lord God of Israel said He would grant them mercy and forgiveness. Prayers would be answered. Enemies would be vanquished. I'm going to say that again. This is a good way to know if you've really obtained the forgiveness of God. Prayers are going to be answered. Not all according to our will, but all according to His will. And enemies will be vanquished. There will be victory in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessings are restored and God is glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary on these verses of Scripture, this particular passage, especially Micah 7:1-20. Listen to what this great Bible commentary says. It says the universality of the corruption of the chosen remnant, driven from every human confidence, turns to God, triumphs by faith over her enemies, is comforted by God's promises in answer to prayer, and by the confusion of her enemies, so breaks forth into the praises of God's character. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Amen. You know, when there's victory, there's going to be people boasting in God, praising God, glorifying God, giving God's name the honor and glory that is due it. I like what Matthew Henry's commentary said on our text. It is as follows: as it was their sin that brought them into bondage, so it was God's pardoning their sin that brought them out of it. Friend, the pardon of sin is the foundation for all other covenant mercies. The glory of God in forgiving sin is matchless and without compare. There is no God like Him for this. No magistrate or common person forgives as God does. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now we know, as the Scripture teaches, there's only one God, one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. We're not saying there are other lesser gods here. We're saying, amen, that the true and living God has no match in this universe, in any person of power to forgive or to prosecute. Amen. God has no equal in mercy. Praise the Lord. That's why the Bible said, how shall we escape the judgment to come? It's talking about how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as this? Amen. We can come to God if we choose to do that. We can be forgiven. No one has to be lost. God has made a way for us to be saved. God has given us grace and mercy. Hallelujah. God has devised a plan called the plan of salvation. And He devised it from the foundation of the world. It's a safety net. Hallelujah. That God, when He gave man a free will, He knew we may make the wrong choices. And yes, we did. But God said, I, even though you have went away from Me, by the volitional will of your own heart, there is a way back. And it is grace that has provided the way back. We used to sing that song as a worship hymn on Sunday morning. Sing, hallelujah, for God hath provided a lamb. Hallelujah. God has made a way so that He can show His mercy, so that He can forgive our sin, so that He can restore that relationship that sin has broken. Praise God. You know, sin has consequences, and the beginning consequence of sin before the judgment to come and the banishment from God is that a relationship with God is broken. Amen. The Bible said God's hand is not short, that it cannot save in the Old Testament. And His ear is not heavy, that He cannot hear. But our sins have separated between us and our God. That great chasm between fallen man and a holy God. Amen. That great chasm has been bridged by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we can go to God, to a God whose ears are open to our cry. You know, the Bible said His eyes are upon the righteous and His ears are open to our cry. Praise God. We can go to God, amen, in prayer. We can look to God for help. We can trust in God for our future. We can rest in God, amen. Hallelujah, that when this life is over, that life He promised in that place He prepared has only begun. Praise the Lord. And this life is temporal. That life is forever, age without end. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're not looking for a hopeless end. We are looking and longing for an endless hope. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good to know this God of grace, this God of mercy, that the climax of His mercy, the consummation of His grace was His own Son on the cross. The new covenant, amen, screams to a fallen world, God loves you and He will forgive you if you will repent of your sin and trust in Him. Praise God. What a gospel this is. Who has a God like our God? A God so abundant in mercy. A God so willing to not just forgive our sin, but to forget our sin and to treat us as if we had never sinned. That's called justification in the new covenant. This is such an exciting gospel, amen, because it reveals to us not only a way back to God, but the God who loved us enough to give His own life, to lay Himself down like a bridge over such troubled water. Jesus laid Himself down. Praise God. Every time I hear that Paul Simon song, A Bridge Over Troubled Water, I think of Jesus. Not just a good friend that won't forsake you, but I think of the greatest friend of man. And that's a God who says, I want to pardon you. I don't want to judge you. I want to save you. I don't want to punish you and banish you. I want you for mine. I want you to live with me forever. Listen, if you don't know Jesus today, amen, God's wrath abides on those who believe not. He's a God of justice. He can't sweep our sin under the carpet. He can't just turn His head and be a just God. But if we repent, He can pardon. And the basis on which He can do that and still be a God of justice is because He's judged our sin in His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53:5 said, He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes ye are healed. Next verse says, All of us, like sheep, have gone astray, but God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Therefore, the next verse says, I will appoint unto Him a portion with the great. That's exactly what Micah is doing right now. He's extolling God's character and person for His capacity to forgive, amen, and to heal sin's deadly wound. Praise God. And to restore the blessings of the covenant with Israel, even though it was broken on their part and they deserved the judgment they were getting. God said, if you'll come back to Me, I'll come back to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I love the story of the prodigal son in the new covenant because it's another picture of that wonderful, gracious God. A father who's willing to forgive. A father who's willing to forget. A father who is willing to restore blessings that have been forfeited through disobedience and rebellion. Praise God. I'm telling you, if I wasn't saved today, I'd get saved again. Hallelujah. This God and this grace draws me to this wonderful God. Amen. There's no reason to go on in the mental torment and the shame that sin creates. There's no reason to fear the judgment to come. There's no reason to dread the possibility of dying today. And where would you spend eternity? You can know before this broadcast is over that every sin that you've ever committed has been forgiven and forgotten. God is a God of grace. And you could receive Jesus as your Savior and boast in Him this day. Praise God. Amen. Every church service should be so filled with gratitude, so filled with excited, enthusiastic worshipers that in every song that is sung and every lyric and every song ends up doing one great thing, and that is boasting in the God of grace and praising Him for the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Unmerited favor. We don't deserve, amen, what God has done for us. But He loved us enough to do it in spite of our rebellion, in spite of our sin. And this God of ancient Israel is also the God of the New Testament. Ah, but He has opened the door to every person through the blood of Jesus Christ to come and to be saved. Hallelujah. The last lamb has been offered. The great sacrifice for sin has been offered on the cross. And I want you to know right now that the price for our salvation, to ransom us, has been paid in full. Praise the Lord. Amen. If I wasn't a Christian, I would come to Jesus today. And I pray if you're not a Christian right now, that you will come to Jesus Christ today. That you will understand God doesn't want to harm you. He wants to save you. He doesn't want to punish you. He wants to provide grace and mercy for you. But He can't do it unless you come to Him, repent of your sins, and receive the wonderful gift of righteousness that He offers you. Oh, the price has been paid. This is bought and paid for. You know, there are a lot of things in life that there's always a hook somewhere. Amen. It says free, and every time you see something free, you say, okay, where's the hook? Well, I'm going to tell you something. This gift, there is no hook. There is no hook. Amen. It is just like God presents it to you. He gave His Son to die on the cross, and He calls you to come and receive something totally undeserved and unmerited, pardon and forgiveness for all of our sin, so that we can go behind the veil into the presence of God and worship Him and pray to Him and call upon Him, and He can come from behind the veil and manifest Himself in answered prayer, in His presence in our life, His power, His strength. He will come literally within, the Bible said, and make His abode. Can you imagine that God, that holy, that veil said, trespass no further. He can come from behind that veil, come to live within you and live within me because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, friend of mine, God offers you more than just an escape from hell, amen, and a place called heaven. God offers you a relationship with Him of intimacy and love where there is no fear. Praise God. Amen. You could maybe sleep tonight in peace for the first time in your life if you will come to Jesus. There's no if, and, but, or maybe if you do come to Jesus, because you can, but you could come to Jesus right now. Right now, accept Him as your personal Savior. Amen. Let Him be, as the Bible said, the Lord of your life. Praise God. Amen. And you, right where you are today, can repent, invite Him into your heart, put your trust in Him and Him alone, and receive the great gift of salvation. Hallelujah. Would you pray that prayer right now? Jesus Christ, come into my heart. Sorry for my sin. I want to turn around 180 degrees and head in the other direction. I choose life over death, righteousness over sin, light over darkness. Come into my heart. Deliver me in Jesus' name. Oh, we love you today. Come back next week. Let's talk about Jesus.